Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
The tallest skyscraper ever built is in Dubai, and it is a Middle Eastern country, and they want to say that they are the best. And when the Tower of Babel was being built, here's what the people said, and it's still the same today. The people said, come, let us build for ourselves a city, a tower with its top in heaven. Let us make a name for ourselves. And so man has a quest to somehow become somebody, to make a name for himself, and he's always building these amazing towers. But what the Bible tells us is that this quest is threefold. But it says we as believers must not love the world nor the things that are in the world. It says if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it is from the world. The world is passing away, also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lasts forever. Here's a contrast. If you go after the lust of your eyes, if you go after the lust of your flesh, if you go after what is called the pride of life, all of these things are passing away. In other words, this is all a vain pursuit to satisfy yourself. It's never going to happen. But if you will go after the will of God, this is forever. This is eternal. The three things that are broken down in this, the lust of the flesh, going after things that are sensual, going after things that are impure, seeking the gratification of your bodily appetites. Then there is the lust of the eyes, and that is seeking after things that are refinements, the best of everything. And it really isn't so bad to have certain things, but it is bad to seek after them. It goes on to tell us not to seek after honor or titles or trying to have position. All of these things are what the world goes after. And we are told not to go after this. We are told to go after the things that last forever, the finer things in life. And what are the finer things in life? They are everything that conforms to the will of God. The Bible puts it this way. The Gentiles are seeking after everything that I just mentioned, but we are to seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And then all the things that the Gentiles are seeking after will be added unto us. Here's what the Bible is saying. If you'll pursue God and pursue his kingdom, you don't have to worry about everything that the Gentiles worry about. Let me just tell you that the biggest waste of time you have in your life, bar none, the biggest waste of time you have is worry. Worrying about things will take up more of your time than almost anything else. And if you worry long enough, then you will go out and try to make your worries go away. And you'll try to build this and build that and build this and have this. And you'll try to make your kingdom something that you'll have no worries. It never works that way. As a matter of fact, God says, because it is such a waste of time. See, what does worry take away from? What does building your own kingdom take away from? What does it take away from? Seeking what? God's kingdom. The reason why you can't get involved in your own kingdom, the reason why you can't get involved in worrying about trying to get all this stuff that the Gentiles want, the reason why is because you can't seek the kingdom. Don't worry about what they're worrying about, because what they're worrying about is fading away. But what you should be worrying about, the kingdom doesn't fade away. It'll last forever. And what the Bible tells us about believers, and if you've become a believer, get ready for this. Because your whole life is going to be about this. God trying you, God testing you, God refining you to get you concerned about his kingdom. To get you concerned about what is eternal. The Egyptians were ruthless people that kept the Israelites in captivity. When they got released, God had one thing in mind for them, not the promised land. He had one thing in mind for them, that they would get to the desert, and in the desert, he would refine them. And here's the refinement. They eventually realized that God was trying them. You have refined us as silver is refined. You have brought us into the net. And listen how he refined them. It's not fun. You laid an oppressive burden upon our loins. You made men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. All of this is part of the refining process. Men rejecting you, men riding over your heads. You're going to go through fire, you're going to go through water, yet you're going to be brought into a place of abundance. But you got to recognize that this is the process of refinement for your soul, that your soul is being refined by God. And if you don't get this, you will miss everything. When you got water baptized, your baptism symbolized something. And hopefully this is why adult water baptism is important, because of this, of the symbolism. Baptism is the beginning of the Christian life. Why? Because here's what the Bible says. Do you not know that if you've been baptized into Christ Jesus, you were baptized into his death? We are buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. See, we don't emphasize this enough when we talk about water baptism, that water baptism is a grave. You go into the grave, you are saying, I am dead. I no longer live. It is a water grave. Baptism means you've decided that you're going to die. You've decided that your kingdom is dead. Your purposes are dead. Your will is dead. Everything about you is going in the grave. You're gone. You're dead. And now, when you come out of the water, it is a symbolism of resurrection. You are now changed. The old is gone and the new is now come. And here's what the Bible says. When you go into this death, it is in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the new life or newness of life. But let's talk about this, the new life, because the new life is a process of refinement. After we get out of this baptism, we go into the desert. The image is the same in the Old Testament, right? Egypt was the road. They came through the water, which is baptism. It's a cleansing. It's a cutting off of Egypt. It's a cutting off of the world. But they are going into something. What are they going into? They're going into the desert to be tested. Your life is a desert in which you are going to be tested by God over and over again. If you don't get this, you will never know what refinement is all about. God is in the process of taking you through 40 years of your life, 50, 60 years of your life in which he is going to refine you. John the Baptist talked about the coming of Jesus, and here's what it would be like. He says he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He says there is a willowing fork in his hand, and he will clear his thrashing floor. He will gather the wheat into barns, but the chaff he will burn away. He is coming to do a purifying work in people. It really was found in Micah, where we see when the Messiah comes. It says, who will endure the day? Who will stand when he appears? He is like the refiner's fire. He is like fuller's soap. Fuller's soap is a soap that will clean clothing. He will give you new garments, but he will also refine you by fire. He sits as a refiner, and he purifies silver. He will purify the sons of Levi. The Bible says that we, as the church, are now a priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're a people that God is going to possess. And so in Micah, it says that he will always purify the priest. He will always cleanse the priest. The biggest mistake we have, I think, is that we think that ministers have ministries, but we don't think that the other priests have ministries. And let me just tell you, you have a ministry. God has placed something within you, and you're accountable for it. Here it is. The Spirit's job is to burn away all of the imperfections in your life and to get you to a place where you're refined. It says that the willowing fork is in his hand and he is going to clear his thrashing floor. Jesus came with a willowing fork. What is a willowing fork? This is a willowing fork. It was something that was used to separate wheat from chaff. It was very sharp, pointy. It had an edge to it. And when it took wheat, the wheat would be able to fall through the cracks here, and the chaff, hopefully, would stay on these pegs. And then they would take this out, the weed out to a windy place. And there he would take his fork and he would throw it up in the air. And the wind would then blow away all of the chaff. And the wheat would then fall to the ground. It was a process of separating what was wheat from what was chaff. And let me just say this. In our life, God is always doing this. But here's the process. This is how wheat is thrashed. There is an ox who is stamping it down, who is breaking it down. There is usually some sort of device behind the ox, something pointy, something sharp. In other words, if you're wheat on a thrashing floor, you are going to be walked on. You are going to be pressed down. You are going to be stomped down. And it's all for this. It's all to somehow separate the wheat from the chaff. I think this is interesting because I think every pastor needs to know this, because pastors are called ox who tread out grain. Part of my job is this. You come to church and I'm going to stomp on you. Any pastor who will tell you everything you want to hear is not worth his salt. Any pastor who gets up here and says, you know what? You all need to be motivated, so let me motivate you. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with motivating people. But what I am saying is a big part of this is stomping on you to the point in which the wheat and the chaff are being separated. What is God is staying, and what is chaff is getting ready to be blown away. It's not a pleasant thing to stomp on people. It's not a pleasant thing to say things that maybe people don't want to hear, but it's part of what we do. What Jesus does is this. He sits as a refiner and he purifies silver. He purifies the sons of Levi. He makes them like gold and silver. What is this process all about? A refiner is somebody who takes something that maybe is impure. He takes like a piece of lead. And in lead, there's silver. But in order to get the silver out of the lead, he has to heat it up, make it really, really hot. And when it gets really, really hot, he's able to separate the silver from the lead. He's able to get rid of the lead and leave the silver. It's his job to bring out of something that is of quality. It's done by fire. This refinement, the word refine, like gold and silver, is actually the same word that is used for being tried, being melted, being purged. God is trying to do all of these things in our life. Why? Because he wants to get out of us what is gold and what is silver. But here's the thing, and it's the first thing, that if you are of the right metal, that is to say, if you are truly born again, if the Spirit of God definitely lives within you, when he heats you up, when the fires come, when the winds blow, what will happen is the dross will be blown away. And what will be left is pure, clear, shining silver. But let me just say this. If God heats you up and you're not made of the Spirit, you're not made of the things of God, what will happen is this. You will be dross. The refiner will blow furiously, but in vain, because nothing but lead dross will appear. The fire is meant to bring out silver and bring out gold in you. The Bible says that the house of Israel become dross to God. All of them were made of bronze and tin and iron. Lead in the furnace. They are all dross of silver. In other words, he tried Israel. And he found in Israel nothing of value. He found no gold. He found no silver. He only found dross. What is dross? On the left here, this is dross. That's dross right there. Does that look very good? Does that look valuable to you? This is dross. It's heated, and what you get is junk. Now, there is something here of value. I'm not sure if that is real value. Because when something is heated, it can be poured out like a fine liquid, and this is pure gold. And this is always God's intention when he brings heat, trials, and testings in our life, is to somehow get this gold out of us. Somehow get metal, silver out of us.
They say that a refiner, when he's in this process of heating something and removing dross and leaving what is pure, that he can tell that he has purified it, because after he heats it and he separates, he'll look over and he can actually see his reflection in the metal. If it's silver, he can look in pure silver and he can actually see himself. Do you know this is what God's trying to do? He's trying to purify you and purify me to the point that when he looks at us, he sees himself. He's trying to remove the dross from your life so that when he looks at you, he sees only a reflection of himself. Pure gold, pure silver. Wouldn't it be nice that God could look at your life, could look at what you've become and see himself in you and all of the dross being removed from you? Again, in 1 Peter, we are told to rejoice when we go through a trial. Why? Because it's testing the genuineness of our faith. And it says this is more precious than gold, though it is tested by fire. It's all about God getting you to the image. The Bible says that the whole purpose of the Christian life is we would be conformed to the image of God. That we would look just like him, burned away by the trials of our life. Timothy says, let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Look what he says here. He's talking about us. He says, in a great house. Notice what he says. It's in you. This stuff is in you. In you is gold and silver, but also in you is wood, clay, stubble. There's things that are in you that are honorable. There's things that are in you that are dishonorable. It says, if anyone cleanses himself of what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel of use, set apart, holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So it says, flee youthful passions. In other words, let God purify you. Let him do this refining work. But it says for you. It says you are to cleanse yourself of all of this stuff that is not honorable. It's usually found in our youthful passions. The process of refinement, it always begins inside. The Bible says of the Pharisees that they were hypocrites, that outwardly they appeared to be righteous, but within them was hypocrisy and lawlessness. You know, let's face it, folks, it's easy for us to be spiritual on Sunday morning. It's easy for us to be spiritual when other Christians are around. The testing of our life happens when we are being purified inwardly. All of us, I would dare say, need to be purified from the inside out. That God's deepest work is going to be done in the areas inside our heart. Because what's in our heart? It says, from within our hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, come theft, murder, adultery, coveting, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. Do I have to go on? All of these things are found in us. And what God is trying to do is he's trying to get all of that junk, all of this dross out of us. Why? Because all of this stuff simply defiles us. It makes us impure. God is in this process of trying to create within us a clean heart. He's trying to renew our spirits. He's trying to make us into his image. How does that happen? First of all, absolute surrender. The baptism is a death to self, death to your kingdom, death to your will. And then you say, now I'm going to walk in a new life. And now I'm going to go through the process of sanctification, where all the stuff in me, the dross in me, has to be taken care of. And then the fourth thing is that there are great rewards. See, sometimes people say, what's heaven going to be like? You know, we're all going to be in heaven, and we're all going to have the same. Not. The Bible doesn't say when you get to heaven that we're all going to be on the same level. It actually says that some of us are going to be on a higher level. Matter of fact, the great saints used to think that the closer you were to God here on earth, the closer you'll be to him in heaven. In other words, you're going to kind of set this bar here. The rewards come from the kind of life we lead. The Bible says this, that each man's work will become evident, For the day will show it because it will be revealed with fire. In other words, every man, every woman will stand before God and there will be a fire. Every one of us will have to go through a fire in the end. You know, the Catholics have the doctrine of purgatory. You know what? Purgatory is not far away. Purgatory comes from the word purgation, the word that means purification. So when you're in purgatory, you're being purified. Where the Catholics miss it is it's not any great length of time. We're all going to get purified. But you know how quickly it happens? It happens really quick. You go right through this fire of purification instantly. Jesus comes. You're going to be caught up to meet him in the air if it's the rapture, or you'll be taken. Your body will be resurrected at that time. And you're going to go through a fire. Before you get to heaven, you're going to go through this fire, and everything that is impure is going to be burned away from your life. Every man's work, it says, is going to be tested. Every man goes through that. Why? What is the purpose of this fire? Look at this. The fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. It doesn't say each minister. Doesn't say each man of God. It says everyone, every woman, every child, every man's work is going to be tested. The quality is going to be tested. And then it says this: if any man has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. In other words, if you have built your life in such a way where you have gold and silver, you've built on the kingdom of God. It's not your will. It's God's kingdom. It's not your purposes. It's God's purposes. It's what is going to last, his will for your life. You've built your life that way. It says you're going to receive a reward. But if you built your life on what you want, it's all going to be burned up. And you're going to suffer a loss. But you will be saved. Yet as though through fire. Know this. This day is coming. I want to take some gold and silver with me. I want to take something with me that I can take into eternity.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. Our church is located in Shepton, Pennsylvania. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.